What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1300 872 911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846 4CA.
Yeah, 17 minutes past 10, and this will be interesting. Given that Palm Cove at the moment, or the Northern Beaches generally, is locked in absolute turmoil over the plans to build 2 6-storey towers just behind the beachfront there at Palm Cove. This is the founder of the Palm Cove Master Plan, Lee Ratcliffe, on the line. Hello, Lee.
Good morning, John. Nice to speak to you after a long while.
Yeah, and this is very timely indeed, given the amount of controversy on that proposed development. There's an effort to get people's signatures on a document that says, no, we don't want it. That's going around all over the place too. By the way, if you're listening to this, I understand the front desk at AMFOR is also taking signatures on that matter, and this coming Sunday happens to be market day too. So if you're listening to this matter and you're keen to get involved, there'll be a site there for you to sign up as well. Sorry, I've jumped in early, Lee, but we've had people screaming from the rooftop about this matter. Did you want to talk about that?
Can I congratulate you firstly? I believe it's 40 years you've been on the airwaves up in Cairns.
That's true.
And, is that true
this
year?
That's true. You need to remind everybody. They'll think I'm really old.
Well, I think congratulations. What you have achieved and what you've done to the community is second to none. So I congratulate you on that. And ironically, it's 40 years this year since I wrote the first iteration of the Palm Cove Master Plan.
Is that so? That's 83.
Both of us have seen a lot of changes happen in Cairns and the region and Palm Cove. Mm. And the whole area is, I know, very, very dear to your heart and very, very dear to my heart.
Yeah.
So it's a good chance to have this conversation.
Now, the master plan, let's talk about what you had in mind back then and where it might go off the rails.
Well, in simple terms, I was only a very young guy. I'm an old grey-headed guy now. And in simple terms, I was horrified when I was living in Cairns in 1982 that developers wanted to build, ironically, high-rises in Palm Cove.
Yeah.
They'd started cutting down the 500-year-old Melaleuca trees with no restrictions, and a couple of Sydney people approached us. We were owners and developers of the Reef House in those days, and they wanted to build several high-rises along the beach. And I was appalled, so it spurred into action. Initiated and wrote my own version of a simplified master plan back in those early 80s, which was then developed into a much deeper plan in the late 80s and culminated in all of the planning restrictions that were put in place for Palm Cove in those days. And predominantly height was the main issue because we didn't want it to turn into high rises, but it flowed on from there into density and design controls to make it the beautiful village it became. Mm. And then that flowed on to us building the beautiful brick paved esplanade that you walk along today in conjunction with council. So we designed all of that. So yes, these issues are really dear to my heart. And Palm Cove obviously is, so much so that I was actually there last year working on, and I'm presenting it to council in the next couple of months, the Palm Cove 2050 strategy plan, which deals with all the issues I guess we're going to discuss today. And in particular, our suggestion is we're pushing for the esplanade to be closed and become a pedestrian promenade. But that's for another day.
That's for another day, exactly. You just mentioned
the issue today.
You mentioned something really interesting. You talked about, well, the early days, the early 80s into the 80s, the density and the design factors, etc. And I remember back then, that would have been Tom Pine in charge, and one of the things he did, and I thought very effectively, and it was very welcomed, was limit the height of buildings there on the esplanade fundamentally to the height of a coconut palm.
Correct.
Now, that stood strong for a long time. When you could go over, when you were allowed to go over to Double Island, you'd look back and you would not see one building on the Palm Cove foreshore. And this is an issue that's now front and centre in the minds of those who've been here for decades, saying we thought that protection would last forever, but perhaps not.
Well, that's the central premise to the whole height limits of Palm Cove. And just to give your listeners some clarity, for all those years, from the early 80s through to only the last version of Cairns Plan, it was a set 12.5 metre height limit. So, in other words, you could only build a 12.5 metre high building. You could put a pitched roof on the top. What that enabled was four-storey buildings, and that's what you see in Palm Cove today. Mm. But what happened is it's now become what planners call a performance based assessment. Now, I don't like that because it's not definitive. So, you know, people will then now argue and start stretching the envelope again. What's the performance? Can I fit six stories? If you get to six, can I fit eight? Where does it actually stop? And, John, I actually think this is terrific that this planning application has gone in. That might shock you and shock your listeners because it's got everybody refocused on the core issue. So I'm happy that we're having this debate. I'm happy that the community has fired right up. I've had probably 50 personal phone calls, emails, just in the last 3 days of people saying, hey, how are they going to get away with this? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
And so, therefore, it's good that this is front and centre. And it's good that the community have to address it, the council have to address it. And obviously, I don't think they should approve it, but it's good that it's a conversation that's happening now because on the broader canvas, I have been concerned that Palm Cove has been losing its focus a little bit. The usual seeds of destruction are creeping in. Does it just become a bar strip in the long term, or is it going to pull itself back into that fabulous sort of boutique village that's become famous worldwide? So it's good to have this conversation, and it's a conversation that needs to be had.
How do you eliminate the horse trading that goes on? Oh, if the developer said, if we do this and we allow this, the developer said he won't go ahead with that and won't do that and won't chop this particular tree down or whatever. How do we stop the horse trading?
Well, it's always the battle, and it's a battle for every council and authority. I must say, I've been very pleased that the conversations and meetings I had last year with, I'll lightly call them the new guard. As you said, we had fabulous people like Tom Pine, Kevin Byrne, these sort of people protecting Palm Cove over the years. Now you've got Ed Johnson, head of planning, who's new and enthusiastic and very well qualified. You've got Micah Martin there, CEO. You've got Terry James with all his experience running, chairing the planning committee. So they're the right team. They've just got to make sure that the right decisions get made. And the community voice is critical, and I really appreciate and admire the community that has arced up right now over this issue. That's very, very healthy. But the answer is you've got to tighten up the planning controls. I believe you should get back to a fixed height limit, and so there is no grey area. And you've got to end up with good design, good respectful design. And so this permit, from what I can see, it's not just about height. Height's the obvious one, but it's actually all about density and good planning as well. And the things that concern me is it's a very intense development for that site. Mm. And again, we could spend an hour debating should all the Melaleuca trees been cleared. What a fiasco that was. Mm. Look at the drainage problems that are there at the moment. And now apparently with the heavy rainfall of the last several weeks, flooding into neighbouring properties. There's a whole bunch of issues have got to be addressed. And another big one is traffication and access. You know, they're proposing to come down French Street and Amphora Street and these very small residential streets that weren't designed for all of this.
Exactly.
So there's a whole bunch of interrelated design issues. And frankly, if the architects and planners did their job, they'd have the respect for the whole village, and they'd have respect for what they've got to fit into. But sadly, I say this, that my suspicion is this is simply an exercise to try and get a permit for the most dense, bulkiest thing one can get. Mm. And then I would stick my neck out and say this, the chances of the current developers doing this project are probably next to zero. It's to get a valuation and maximise the value of the site. That's the tragedy.
Well, a senior person at the council actually said that to me next week. They predicted once it's over the line, it'll be marketed to another developer, and that developer could be from anywhere in the world, couldn't he or she?
Correct.
Terrifying.
And one of the other things that I was advocating and will be advocating when I present the 2050 Palm Cove plan to council is that the certain section of Palm Cove, the beachfront and two or three blocks back, should be classified as a heritage area.
Yes.
You can do this by putting special overlays. We've all been to fabulous places around the world that are heritage protected, and even the World Heritage have listed different areas of architecture. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be World Heritage listed, but council have mechanisms where they can put in special overlays, and those overlays could have very strict conditions, but it should start from everything at the top of people's emotions, which is height. But it should also go down to all the basics like signage and keeping the place under control, similar to what they did in Carmel and what made Carmel in the USA famous. So it can be done. It's incumbent on council to have the guts to do it and to implement it. And then what you tend to get is a bit of a backflip where people then say, oh, I don't want to be overly restricted. Well, it's all got to be done if you want the place to stay. As one of the best examples of tropical destinations in this country and in the world, so it can be done.
Now,
it just needs conviction.
Obviously, what you're saying now is going to be embraced by lots of people out there, but they don't have the clout. How are you going to somehow or other convey your position, your thoughts here, your concept, your wisdom before the council, including those three people at the council you just mentioned as being, well, potentially key in solving this issue at Palm Cove?
I guess I can only be a conduit, to be fair, and I'm proposing to present to council in the next few months a strategy that identifies, and to start moving forward, you've got to identify what the problems are. And the problems are that the general creep has come in to that lovely village, and that creep has probably come into complacency between the custodians of the village, because everybody can see it, but we all get too close to things. So I guess, as a person who's half-half, I come in with fresh eyes. I can be a stimulator, stimulate the conversation, stimulate the debate, which I will do with a strategy proposal.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's up to the community. Mm. And that's why I said a little while ago, I'm actually really happy that this is happening, because this is actually galvanizing community. Mm. And really, the next step should be not to stop here, not for people just to say, oh, I knocked two stories off that building. Mm. That's actually not enough. They've got to say, hang on, what's important to us? Let's refocus. How do we protect what we all love?
Yes.
And Palm Cove is for the people of Cairns. It's not for the people of Palm Cove.
Mm.
It's a Cairns asset. It's
yes.
Where you know this, and then people have told me, everybody who lives in Cairns and their relatives visit from down south or wherever, where do they take them? They always take them out to Palm Cove for Sunday afternoon.
Exactly.
Drive or walk along the Esplanade. So it's a great asset for everybody, and that's why it should be protected in the ultimate sense and actually put up on a pedestal, because, again, there's benefits from a marketing point of view. If it became the only protected village in Australia on the ocean front, people will start writing about it, as they did when we developed Palm Cove all those years ago.
Exactly.
They'll all start telling the story. So it also becomes part of your DNA and your promotion.
Mm.
And look, there's a lot of good people working. They did great work over the last 2 years, the tourism authorities and the local groups there, working out their identity for tourism and what their bylines are going to be and all this sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about the hardware. If you get the hardware right and if you keep it on track and it doesn't get diminished and watered down, then the rest isn't that hard. You've got to have the hardware right.
Do you know the term you used there that really cut through? We are the custodians of this treasure, of this
Absolutely.
Precious, precious asset we've got up there. And I'm hoping people listening to this take that to heart, rather than just brushing it off saying, oh, that's for everyone else. No, it's for all of us. For all of us who live here and love here, please, there'll be opportunities for you over the next... It's next week, by the way. If you're going to sign a petition or whatever, if you're going to get involved, it's going to have to be fairly snappy. And a lot of people have already, but it needs to be a heck of a lot more, in my view. Get down to, for example, Amphora Front Desk, sign that. There'll be that table at the markets this coming Sunday at Palm Cove. You might be on a little bit of a queue. Doesn't matter. Please hang in there, because every one of the custodians, and that's all of us, we need as many as possible involved in this if we're to save our little precious jewel called Palm Cove.
That is so true, John. And then the other point that I should raise is the Wangetti Trail. You look at the exciting trail potential that's being planned, and I know it's not easy for the different layers of government pulling it all together, and it's been, you know, a little bit slower than what everybody wanted, but Palm Cove is going to be the start of the trail.
Yeah.
So people are going to start virtually in the heart of Palm Cove at this site and head off on one of the most exciting trails in Australia, if not again in the world. Yeah. So there's a lot of layers to this little place. And as you said, it is the jewel of Cairns. It's we are all only custodians. I can do my 40-year bit. I'm putting a 2050 plan together. Hopefully I might be around just to see that through in the end. But it's about crystallising great assets and looking after them.
Great to talk to you today, Lee. Thank you.
My pleasure.
That's Lee Ratcliffe. He's the founder of Palm Cove Master Plan as years ago, and still very much passionately protective of what he's had a part in creating.